Okay, we're in Parshas Devarim, and the first piece of Yitzhar Ben Chaya that speaks about the Seder HaKesuvim in general, about how the different Chumashim, what they are, and how they tie in with each other. Let's get a job of Akdama. One of the underlying fundamentals of approach to Torah is that the different pieces are parts of an integrated whole. And the reason for postulating that is that, first of all, it is in the nature of anyone who is a Bar Das that his words come together as one unit. If someone says a speech, we can say he's either rambling, or you can say the speech was all-encompassing. The difference between rambling and all-encompassing, besides the difference whether you're the listener or the speaker, is whether all the pieces click together and form one larger whole, or you just happen, different things pop in. So the Torah has five chumashim to it. If these are just five bits and pieces that came about, then it's not the sign of Das. If these are different aspects of one unit, it is one. Then it's a sign of Das. Besides that, deeper than that, the fact that Hashem is Echad means that whatever comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu should also have that quality. So we have five Chumashim, deal with different things, but the Rabbi Mechai is going to show that all of it comes together with one point, and we'll see that.
Ready?
Yes.
I don't know if Rabbi Mechai is going to touch on this, but why did Hashem divide it up into five Chumashim if it's really one Indian?
Well, let's give a good example. We have something else that is one and five that come together. One, that's a hand with five fingers. It's not Stavah Moshel. The Moshel actually has deep roots to it. It's interesting enough, you have a hand with five fingers. If you hit the right spot inside the hand, the palm, they all instinctively come together, but the fact it is a far more, it's a much more powerful tool in the fact that five different fingers coming from different angles can grip and something than if it be one piece. So it is much easier for us. It just goes sort of to the issue of Basar Mamar Sefer Olam, Olam Vayma Echad Yachol Lifro. Any time a Kaddish broke up into pieces, it's for us. If I can give you an example, a very, very practical example, when I was working on the Maral on Gvoros Hashem, I had the first edition of Maral. The first edition of Maral was printed in the same way it's far more printed in those days, which means almost no punctuation. So every chapter, every perik, it starts in the first word and ends with the last word, with no commas, no dots, no indentations, no breaks, nothing. It's difficult. When you break it into sentences and phrases and clauses, you're able to grasp piece, and then you get the whole idea. So breaking it into parts and pieces is easier for us. But we have to always see it as being part of a whole thing. It's very simple. To me, there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu and so on. So Bereishis, he says. So the Rabbi Mechai starts, because this is the last Sefer in the Chumash, I'd like to give you a sense of the structure of Chumashim. Why is it that they were structured in the following way? I'd like just to point out something interesting. Rabbi Mechai says this at the very last Sefer. When we talk about this, being able to figure out the structure and the bits and the pieces of everything, really, while you're progressing, you can't see it. I mean, Rabbi Mechai could have given it to us because he had, I assume, finished it the first time round, and then wrote the Pirush. But he was. Usually, we discover the theme and the structure when we finish the whole thing. We now can say X, Y, Z. So this is now that we're holding at the end point. We should go back and get a sense how these pieces fit into certain Seder. He says, and even though we know that the Sfarim are five for a certain specific, for a certain reason, which he said he's alluded to in Brachos, still they all come together, they're all tied together into one binyan. So he says, why did he start Brachos? Mipnei shechidush ha'olam hu shorish emuna. Umitoch emuna sachidush tisbaya hashkocha, umitoch hashkocha yisbaya einish v'schar. So emuna develops as a root, and things that come out of it. The first one is the Bria Yesh Me'ayin. Now, the Bria Yesh Me'ayin is there, is not just a belief in the dynamics or mechanics of the Bria. In other words, well, Hashem created Himself, what a great feat, and that's that. The difference between between understanding Bria Yesh Me'ayin and not, one of the ways it reflects itself is whether or not Hashgacha is seen as part and parcel of Bria. if matter and things existed before Hashem, and Hashem's only role was kind of putting things together, so He made choose to be Mashgiach, may choose not to be Mashgiach, one is, you can have one without the other. Kadosh Baruch Hu might have chosen to put the pieces together in the way that we have it now, but He may not be Mashgiach. He could be Mashgiach if He wants, we're not saying He can't, but it doesn't indicate anything. If the world is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, in other words, when you say Yesh Me'ayin, means that the root of the world's existence is of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then Hashgacha, in a very deep sense, is an automatic part of it. In other words, Kaviyachol, it's me. In other words, its very essence is me, its existence is me, and I need to keep giving it continued existence. That's Hashgacha. You can't have a walkaway because the thing would not be. So its very being is a continuous Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes.
Really, how exactly is really understanding the term Hashgacha here?
Okay. Hashgacha here, in its most rudimentary explanation, would be tied to. It's connected to. So the mashal, the Nefesh HaChaim, Nefesh HaChaim gives this mashal, very, very famous mashal. He says, it says that if a Kadosh Baruch Hu were to leave go a minute, a second, the world would collapse. Well, you hope a good company is not a company that constantly services your computer and fulfills its warranty. It's the one you don't actually need it. So why is that a sign of some perfect creation? And he answers that when the carpenter's job is to put pieces together, so the pieces exist because they exist. The wood exists because wood exists. The carpenter brought them together, it definitely should not need the carpenter's continued attention. Whereas the very root of things existing is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that means it doesn't have its own validity really to exist, and it's only the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashgacha in its most rudimentary sense is the connection. Now, in other words, the question of Hashgacha is not, and its deep sense, it's not does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have the ability to observe us, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have the ability to affect us, but is that part of the Bria? I mean, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is it an elective? Can HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose? Yes, not. The way he understands it is Hashgacha is a corollary of Bria. Hashgacha is the ongoing process of Bria. So the decision of whether yes to be or not to be, that's Hashgacha. So in a very deep sense, Hashgacha is the hemshach of that. ומתוך אמונס החידוש יש תסבייר השכוחה ומתוך השכוחה יסבייר אינס השכר. Now, this one is also the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's remaining connected to the world means it's serving a purpose. So the and in a more specific way, the purpose is the Tikkun HaOlam and so on, but the purpose is locked into, so we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu as having brought the world to being, HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being connected to the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as directing the world towards a Tachlis. And he says, Lefish and Yanma Elam Ikri Torah, because these are really the fundamental Torah, Lekach Nesyachet Sefer Breishis Bechidosh Olam Ubashkocha Ala Adam. That's why Sefer Breishis deals with Chidosh Olam. He was given mitzvahs and averis, and he was suffered consequences and so on. So in other words, Sefer Breishis describes the fundamentals of Emunah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu as creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being connected to the world. The entire Sefer Breishis is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu remains connected to the world, and that connection goes with the tachlis of Schar and Onesh. Now he says, second one is Shmois. So he says the second one is Shmos, which interesting enough, he says it is the culmination of the emuna of Yichud of the Avos. He doesn't explain how exactly. There are a few different ways to look at it. Let's say that at the level of a tzibur, the emuna in Hashem Echad flowers in Shmois. In other words, whereas the Avos had emuna and they were Eved Hashem and tried to get other people, but the yichud emuna in one God, in Achdus Yisparach and so on, is something which it flowers and finds its place in Shmois, because a Matan Torah, where you had that full gilui, Chlal Yisrael who are machzik the emuna of us, Mitzrayim that denied HaKadosh Baruch Hashem Echad, the Oiv Delilim, being forced to recognize it, and the Mishkan we'll see later. So these are all the full flowering of the belief of Yichud, and that's why you have, he says, Ve'elah Shmos connected with Avav, because it's really a Hemshech of it. Now, he adds a line here, Ki Emunas HaChidush Tavi HaAdam LeMunas HaYichud. If you believe in Chidush, then you believe in Yichud. I want to describe this point. One of the things that's very, very fundamental to the emunah of Yichud is that believing in one God is not a detail. You know, in the world of the divine, one, two, three, committee or whatever, is not, the differences is not just like a theological differences. You know, how many angels can dance on a pin's head? How many gods can you fit into the world? And we say one, and they say two, and they say three, and they say a bunch, and so on. The emunah of Yichud is very, very fundamental to a lot of other things. We've pointed out over the years different things, but I want to focus on what he's pointing out. The Rambam, for instance, links Yichud to corporeality, or incorporeality, actually, that the belief, you know, how do we, believing Hashem is Echad is something that is a corollary of believing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incorporeal, and the Rambam in Mishnah Torah spells it out. He speaks about in the Chiddush Yesh Me'ayin. I want to describe the logic behind it. Yesh Me'ayin means that there is, you know, there is a koach of Elokus in the Bria, and that's the only koach in the Bria, and it brought everything else into existence. If you have two such entities, then where did they come from? Which one brought the other one into existence? And there's another nekuda. There's a general sense that any time you have two, they are the result of a process. In other words, if I have two apples, that means there's a species called apples that comes before any particular apple, and each particular apple is an example of that apple. If there would be two things, if there are at least two things in the world that exhibit the properties of gravity, gravity is something that precedes it, and these are examples. In other words, when something is unique, it means it is not a subdivision of anything else. And they classify languages. So there'll be families and subfamilies and great families and so on. When you come to a language that's unique, means it's not, it doesn't seem to us as the son of any other language, not the brother, not anything. So you have the concept of Achdus or Yehudo contains in itself the understanding that it's not the product or result of anything else. Whereas if you would have more than that, then that automatically tells me that something preceded those two. Because if you have two of something, the concept, like the Platonic idea of the form, precedes it. All circles are products of the concept circle. But anything that's very peculiar and unique is not the product of anything. It starts with itself. This shape is the only shape that, let's say we have a shape that can't be duplicated ever. Whatever we have. That shape is a starting point. So there's a deep nekudah in the Rabbeinu B'chaya that emunas achidush brings other emunas ayichud, because they come together. The next one is Parshas Vayikra, says, is Sefer HaKorbanos, Shem Ika Yichud. the general concept of Korbanos in the big picture is to bring everything back to God. In other words, when we talk about the Korbanos we bring to Hashem, the offerings, and so on, so it's like David HaMelech said, I took from you and gave to you. You know, everything is me'itcha koil, and the liyotcha nasatif in Lashon HaPasuk is I gave it back to you. Korbanos are not giving a HaKadosh Baruch Hu generously from my pocket. It's acknowledging that a HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shorosh of the Bria, and everything really is His. I saw a beautiful piece. There's a wonderful sefer, unfortunately also not known so well. There was a person named Rav Bar Shaul, Elimelech Aaron Bar Shaul. He was a Rav Rehovot, came from a long line of Chabad families in Eretz Yisrael. He was Rav Rehovot, he had a yeshiva there. A little bit more, I guess, of a modern flavor, his writings. They've published, called Mitzvah V'Lev, and Mareches Alev, and Reach Mayim, and a bunch of different, he writes on different topics. Extremely beautiful writer, very poetic, a little bit on the long side, but very poetic, very beautiful, with some very beautiful ideas. And in one of his first pieces, he speaks about the world of mitzvahs, and he shows how in different halachas you get a different perspective of what the mitzvah is. And he speaks about Aliyah L'Regel, and it says that if you go up to Regel, the Umus HaOlam will not take your land away. Even though everybody left home and left everything open, wide open, nobody's going to come and they won't take it. Pashto Pshat is, it's a Haftacha. The another Pshat is, it says if you have no karka to leave over, you're potter from the mitzvah. Why? So he explains that and he builds it up very beautifully, that the root of the mitzvah lila regel is giving the keys back to the owner. It says it's called Odin Pnei Hashem, Pnei Odin. The Akadosh Baruch Hu is the Odin, and a lila regel is a recognition that we're returning the keys to the landlord. So if you don't have what to give back, it's lacking very centrally in the mitzvah. It's not an idle haftacha that, you know, you're going to do the mitzvah and, oh, everything is wide open, so they won't attack it. It goes to the heart of the mitzvah, the understanding that it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching your stuff, it's actually at this stage His stuff. So Korbanos is giving back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what's rightfully His, And even the Rishonim that sort of describe the act of Karbanis as if I were being sacrificed, it's giving back my soul to its rightful owner. The dam is the nefesh of the behemah. We sprinkle the dam back to Mizbech. It goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Karbanos, and that's why Karbanos is a big kepedah, Zavech L'Mechram, Rabban says and speaks about that the Kavanah for Karbanos can only be Lashem, only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No kochos, no mazolos, no malachim, and so on. The Malach told Manoach, don't you dare bring a carbon to me, because Karbanos is the very act of being miyachet shmo. That's avodah. Bamidbar, he says, is the sefer about Eretz Yisrael, the road to Eretz Yisrael, the chaluk of Eretz Yisrael, and so on. We just finished it. Shehi mekoyma karbanis. In other words, karbanis aren't Eretz Yisrael because Eretz Yisrael is the land unique to bringing about to understanding Achdus Hashem. Just like it says, for instance, Eretz Yisrael is not under any sar. It's not ruled by anyone, by any malach and sarim. It's directly HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here also, the makom for Karbanos could only be, the Midbar was an exception, but as you saw, so Bamidbar is setting up the place that will have Avodas HaYichud. So Karbanos being only so is not a small detail in Karbanos. But rather, there's one place that Shaykh Favoritus HaYichud, and that is Eretz Yisrael. Then he says, Devarim, is Seif HaGula Achreina Shitachas B'yos Olam. V'acha Seif HaMidbar Sinai, Nesiach HaSeif Zashayel Devarim. Ulefi says, Shein Iko Yishuvun Shal Yisrael B'Eretz Yisrael, B'Shnei HaMikdashim Sh'Avru, Kim B'Gula Achreina Shein Achre HaGolos. Lekachrot zolachtem b'seif hazeh shemedaber b'soifei ha-geula b'geula achreina. Sheke inyan chidush ha-olam v'tachas b'yos ha-olam. Me'ein seif ha-beishe shepasa ba-derech no'ot seif ha-tchilosan. So he's saying this entire world of yichud that we spoke about, that karbanis are the ones that, karbanis is the avodah that represents it most strongly. And the Mokum is Eretz Yisrael. In time, it didn't happen really. We were for Kufa, that's all the Bais Rishon, Kufa Sheni. In time, it will happen only Lasad Lavo. And therefore, that's really the time frame for what will happen. So, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim are the Avoda, the place, and the time when you'll have Yichud Hashem. So so what he's saying until now, Rabbi Bechai is explaining that really all of Chumash deals with one inyan, which most fittingly is Achdus Yisparach, Yichud Yisparach. In other words, in the big picture, the world is trillions of pieces, many senses besides very very physical, but it's a lot of different dynamics. And the matar of man, avodah zarah, is the observation and the validation of each piece as being its own piece. And avodah Hashem is the re-suturing, the re-putting together all the pieces in the one whole. There adkan, the general pattern. Now he adds another very fascinating point. In other words, vish veila shmos attaches also to that. Vayikra's above. That's not Bamidbar, but here you have eladvarim, and we know that without above, it's disjunct. It does not connect. That's the klal. Vav sort of tells me that's part of it. And here, so he says like this. Kimsha kokas of Avoze Yore, Kia Seifa Hamisha Ze Avobishu Miyuchna Vishainim, Vakol Kesher Binachat, even though this last Seifer is tied with the other ones, Hine Hu Inyam of Natsmai. It is something that stands as a Inyam of Natsmai. He doesn't give the marshal fully. Well, he does give a marshal. So his marshal is like the esrog, that even though you have to hold it together with everyone, it stands by itself. Our best example, if you don't have five, is we spoke about the fingers as being five. The thumb is part of the entire hand, but it stands in opposition to it. So the thumb is kind of a lone man out, and yet it's part of the whole thing. And esrog in the world of mitzvah is an example. V'cheni says, Hei shniyah shebeshem, the second hei in yudkei vavkei, shehi midas hadin rafa hamiyaseres yisrael shev averis, v'lochei nikra seif hachamish de mishneh Torah. I want to explain the remez that he's giving here. And he says that's why this is all talking about Divrei Tochacha, because it's connected to Midas Adin Rafa, that's Miyasa Klai, so on and so on. I will try to explain it. He is referring obviously to Shtigl Inyan and Panim. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhagis, in what we call spheres, there are a whole bunch. There are nine and one that's very different, or six and one that's very different. There are six basic Hanhagas that are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's activities within this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Megal Himself through Chesed and through Gvura and etc., etc., etc. There's one Hanhaga called Malchus, which is the last Hanhaga, which is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals Himself in the world through the actions of the people, of the other. Just like a king, when you want to measure a king, how chashev he is and how great he is, well, you can talk to the king and measure his IQ and look at him and see his strength, etc. You also, the final measure is to see what the kingdom looks like. You know, how does that reflect it? So on the one hand, it's the choice of the people. I mean, you know, they can choose to accept, not accept, to carry out fully, not carefully. And yet, if it's done well, it's meant to be the real reflection of the king's prowess and so on. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midah Malchus is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressed through us. Maybe some other time we'll describe more detail, but that Midah is merumes in the last hay of the Shem Hashem. In other words, Ein Hashem Shalom, Akitza Shalom, Ein Hashem Shalom, the last hay is the one that is, it represents what we do to Megalish Shem Hashem. Now, so just like on the one hand it is disconnected from the other, the mashal given in Sfarim also is Zachar Nekeva. It's the Nekeva to the Zachar, whereas the Zachar finds his complete Metzius within the Nekeva, and the Nekeva starts as a separate entity. So you have the Metzius of Adam as being himself through his family, through his wife, and yet there we get that last piece, which is Mashlim, the Mashpia, but can stand on its own. That's where Midas Hadin comes in. Midas Hadin is the gap. In other words, anytime you measure something, you have to measure something outside. If I have a ruler, I can't ask myself, is this ruler, I look at the ruler is marked off 6 feet. So, the ruler has measured itself and it's 6 feet. No, that's ludicrous. I mean, it's either right or wrong. If I have a piece of wood and I don't have a yardstick to measure it by, I also don't have Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin is when I have a yardstick and something to measure to the yardstick, and Midas Hadin is the evaluation of one vis-a-vis the other. Taller, shorter, precise, etc. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas Hadin lies in that comparison. How well has the last hay mimicked the first hay? How well is it like the first day? That's sort of the inyan of that song. Fakapana, went a little bit off track, a little bit beyond where we normally go, but I just felt it important to explain. So he's explaining that the Devarim, and this is a big Yisod understanding, we're not going to do the next piece this year, maybe next year, the Mishneh Torah says is Mipi Moshe. what does it mean to be Pimoisha? It's big machlokes rishonim, skarav, and it's a topic in its own right. But to understand it fully, to understand the point of it, it's Torah through Moshe. So Devarim is part of Torah, but it's the part of Torah when Moshe Rabbeinu b'shleimus gives over Dvar Hashem, then it becomes equal to the other chumashim. Halachically, Devarim has all the dinim of the other chumash, same kedush and everything, because it was a faithful rendition. But the makom for possibility for destruction lies over here. So Devarim is a new sefer in a certain sense. Its shleimus is because Moshe did properly copy what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, but it's like the thumb. When the hand is spread out, the thumb stands by itself. When it comes together, the thumb is part of that oneness. Same thing with the luluf and esek. The luluf ties the hadas and the rabbis together. They're tied together. The esek is not tied together. It's a separate entity, but we bring them together for a shleimus. If you ever look at the Yiratzin on the luluf and esek, it says, trying to be miyachet shem Hashem. That's sort of the point of it. Okay, we'll hold it here. It's quite a deep Rebbe Mechaya.